In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Tomorrow, Americans will celebrate Mother's Day, giving cards and gifts to thank and honor their mothers. Maybe some of them have already started celebrating this afternoon. But the idea for Mother's Day began about 110 years ago when a 44-year-old Philadelphia resident, Anna Marie Jarvis, decided to fulfill her mother's dream of honoring mothers, quote, for their matchless service to humanity in every field of life. And although she herself was never a mother, Anna Marie Jarvis is recognized as the Mother of Mother's Day, an appropriate title, I would suggest, for a remarkable social activist and community organizer. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation setting aside the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. You see, Mother's Day is the third most celebrated holiday of the year after Christmas and Valentine's Day. In fact, more than 145 million cards are sent, 14.6 billion dollars spent on gifts and dinners, and more long-distance telephone calls will be made today and tomorrow than any other day of the year to wish Mom Happy Mother's Day. So let me begin this sermon by wishing all mothers Happy Mother's Day. Today, we pause and say thanks for all of your hard work throughout the year. And as we celebrate motherhood, I realize that some of you are here today with mixed emotions because you are carrying the pain of not being able to have children or the grief of a recent loss. It is my prayer that God will give you grace and strength as you live through this difficult period. On Mother's Day, some preachers talk about famous women in Scripture. Today, I want to focus on only one, the blessed and glorious Virgin Mary. I want to talk about the love, the devotion, the humility and influence of the mother of our Lord Jesus, and the adoration and reverence with which she is held throughout the world. When Vivian and I visited Turkey 3 years ago, we were among thousands of tourists who visited what is described as the last home of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Ephesus. It was amazing to see so many from all over the world waiting for hours in line to enter this tiny Mother Mary's house, as it is popularly known. The house of the Virgin Mary is a Christian and Muslim shrine located on Mount Nightingale in Ephesus, Turkey. That's the same town where the Apostle Paul spent 3 years establishing the Christian church. And Paul later sent Timothy there as pastor to guide believers who were struggling with loving and following Jesus, as we read in Revelation chapter 2. In the Scriptures, we first read about the Blessed Virgin Mary when God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth to announce And this is what it said. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed, we read in Scripture, by his words, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." My friends, Mary's answer was, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." That was Mary's response. Such humility, such reverence. My friends, God has a special plan for each of us. The question is, how do we respond when God makes this plan known to us? Do we respond like the Blessed Virgin Mary and say, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Oh, I love how one songwriter answers that question. He said, "I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, oh yes. I will trust and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart, I will agree. And my answer will be, yes, Lord, yes." During a visit to her cousin Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant with a child that grew to become John the Baptist, Mary expressed her gratitude and humility in the favorite scripture known as the Magnificat, or Mary's song of praise. "My soul," she says, "magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations shall call me blessed." That's what Mary said. My friends, we know what happened next in Scripture. We know, my friends, that Mary, in her own humility, accepted to be the mother of our Lord. Then the second time we read about Mary was in the Gospel of John, chapter 2. It is an interesting story, you see, about Jesus and his mom at a family wedding. We don't know exactly which member of the family was getting married, but we know that his mother, the Virgin Mary, felt somewhat responsible for the reception. We don't know exactly, okay, how much they had, but it said that when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." And Jesus' reply was, "Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." Now, to some of us, that may sound a little rude, but Jesus, I believe, is saying, "Mom, you don't understand. It is not the right time." And then she said, "I know," maybe she said, "I know, son, that you don't think it's the right time, but I need help." In a Jewish culture, I'm told, running out of wine at a wedding reception is like a shame and probably could damage the reputation of the family. So Mary tells the servants Do whatever he tells you. She had that much confidence in her son. She knew he could do anything. Yes, even miracles. And Jesus himself probably understood the Old Testament law that says, honor your mother and your father. So he relents and comes to the rescue. What happened next is what we read in scripture was the very first miracle at Cana of Galilee. 6 stone jars are filled with water, about 10 gallons each. And all that became very good wine. In fact, so good that the master of the wedding banquet was astonished. My friend, what happened at the wedding in Cana of Galilee demonstrates what happens when you and I recognize that only God can help us when we need help the most. See, Mary needed help and called on Jesus for help. She probably said to Jesus, listen, you are the Son of God. You have the ability and the power to do something about this. She believed that. She had that much faith in her son, our Savior. So she's asking him to respond and do something. There was a problem, you see, and she needed help. Mary needed help. Some of us today are struggling, are wrestling with problems, probably. Some of us maybe are fighting a debilitating illness, and we need healing. Or, mom, your son or daughter is on drugs or in jail, and you are worried and losing sleep every night. Do what Mary did. Ask Jesus for help. And when you pray and pray and things don't get better, don't despair. Don't give up hope. Sometimes things will get worse before God makes them better. Some of us are experiencing difficulties or hardships. Yes, we are out of wine. We have lost our child, maybe, and are in serious debt. Maybe you are having difficulties in your marriage. The writer of 1 Peter tells us and offers us this assurance. After you have suffered a little while, God will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. After you have run out of wine, my friends, after your kids have screamed and yelled at you and told you how much they hit you, or after your husband or your spouse tells you you are just not good enough anymore, after you have suffered a little while, there is a promise. And that promise is this, that God will restore you and make you strong. Jesus will make life better. But we have to put our hope and our trust in him, as Mary did. Some of us are at the end of our rope. We have run out of hope. We have run out of options. But we cannot lose hope. We have to do like Mary did. We have to turn to Jesus and ask for help. What Jesus did for his mom at the wedding, he would do for you and for me. But you have to look up to Jesus. We have to ask Jesus, the Savior, to help. And we have got to listen to what he tells us to do. You see, in John 2, it says, do whatever, what Mary said, do whatever he tells you. My friends, we also have to listen and do as God tells us to do. So, my brothers and sisters, we got to ask, all right, whatever he tells us, whatever he speaks into our lives, we got to do it. We must take action. As we celebrate Mother's Day, let us reaffirm our faith in Jesus and resolve to be faithful and obedient followers. Today is the day that we begin to obey. Today is the day that we begin to do, that we respond, that we act. Because Jesus honored and obeyed his mother, and because the servants obeyed, a miracle happened at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. My brothers and sisters, as we celebrate Mother's Day today, know this. There's no better way to honor your mom than to put your faith in Jesus and obey our Lord. When you do that, you make mom very proud, as our glorious and blessed Virgin Mary, all right, was of Jesus. Amen.